We're subsidizing right now fossil fuels. So those subsidies makes that styrofoam plate or that plastic plate affordable. It's what happens when we throw things away. It's a systemic change that has to happen. We have the capability to tap into reusable, renewable resources. SustainLA offers a way to prolong the life of those containers because zero waste isn't about perfection. It's about progress.
Welcome to the Be Curious podcast, the podcast that champions solutions to some of the world's biggest problems. I'm your host, Louise Houghton, and on each episode, we get curious about a different subject, from the clothes we wear and the food we eat to overflowing landfills and ocean plastics. All of our guests have brilliant minds and innovative ideas that allow us to lead a more sustainable, conscious, and pollutant-free life. And the best part is, this podcast isn't just about listening. It's about building a community and connecting like-minded individuals who are curious about alternatives to enhance their lives and the longevity of the planet. And if you're curious already and you want to find out about the many sustainable products and services gifted to you from our many guests on the show, then why not head over to our Instagram for more information? You can find out how to enter at becurious_podcast. Today, we're getting curious about sustainability. We hear that word a lot these days, but what does it actually mean and how can we actually live more sustainably? Well, to talk more about her zero waste consultancy business and the refillery store, I'd like to welcome the CEO and founder of SustainLA, Leslie Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Louise. I'm so happy to be here.
Now, before we dive into all of the different environmental issues that have come up within your work, I'd love to just get a clearer picture of what you do with SustainLA because there's so many pillars to it.
Yes, SustainLA is dedicated to helping zero waste be more accessible. We currently operate a zero waste refill station in Highland Park where folks can come and refill their containers with household cleaners, body care products, and find plastic-free essentials, plastic-free alternatives to everyday essentials.
And your background was actually in restaurant management. So what was it that made you want to start SustainLA?
Styrofoam was the catalyst, actually.
That's a big one.
Yes, I realized that the restaurant I was managing in Los Angeles did not align with my personal values. So if I was going to be ordering takeout or something, I would actually avoid the restaurant I was managing due to styrofoam. You know, we learned in the 80s how toxic it is, toxic when it comes in contact with our food and toxic to produce. The restaurant that I managed was using it pretty exclusively for all their takeout needs.
And there's so much waste as well in the restaurant industry, isn't there? I mean, we've talked about food waste on one of the previous episodes that we've had on the Be Curious podcast. And I believe the figure was something like 40% of all food that's actually produced actually gets wasted, which is a phenomenal figure.
It's a lot. Yes, 40% is accurate. It's an interesting comparison, too, because if we look at food insecure populations here in Los Angeles, it's also 40% of Angelenos that are food insecure. So really connecting those dots can help get food to those in need.
Were there any other factors of working in that restaurant industry that made you want to branch out on your own?
Yes, I think the restaurant that I mentioned, you know, we tackled styrofoam first, and this was in, you know, mid-2000s when there weren't a lot of alternatives that were affordable. So finding a solution to eliminate styrofoam launched us into a complete overhaul of our operations. We started recycling. We started with the city's food waste recycling pilot program, so composting. We changed our operations to improve energy efficiency and water conservation. And we were met with such a great response from the community. They really embraced what we were doing. We saw a reduction in employee turnover. It really made me want to do something on a larger scale, having seen what we were able to do with this one small restaurant.
I mean, that's great that you actually decided to do it in that restaurant, though, and not just leave and say, hey, this doesn't align with my values. You actually took action to make a change.
Yes, and I want to credit the owner too for being on board to make those changes and see the value in it, and how to make it work. Restaurant operations are really difficult, right? It's a difficult industry, and the bottom line really makes a difference. So being able to make that happen in a way that was beneficial to the bottom line was really key.
Do you want to mention which restaurant it was?
Oh, sure. It was Gingergrass Restaurant in Silver Lake.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with it. What kind of cuisine do they offer?
Vietnamese. Yes, delicious pho.
Oh, nice. So I guess all of that kind of really leads into why you started this refill store. But before you did that, you got more into the consultancy business, first of all. Do you want to talk about your sort of transition out of the restaurant management?
Yes. Sustain LA originally started to help restaurants operate more sustainably. And we worked with several in Northeast LA to implement some of the changes that we had seen at Gingergrass that worked well. And then we quickly found the community need for zero waste event supports. So a lot of music festivals, street festivals, and how do they reduce the amount of waste that's generated, because it's quite substantial.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard to get those contracts initially?
With the restaurant consulting, yes. At the time, I was quite young and passionate, and that doesn't always translate to business owners' needs, right? Mm-hmm. So during that time, I also went back to school and got some education behind, you know, to support my passion, and was trained in waste and recycling to understand really what away means, what happens when we throw things away. Because I think that's very important when we're also talking about solutions, is to understand the systems that are already in place to take care of what is considered waste.
And especially if you're wanting to be a consultant too, people want to know that you've got some kind of qualification to do what it is that you say you're doing.
Absolutely, it helps, yes.
But let's paint the picture then for maybe people who don't really understand. You know, say, let's take an event, I don't know, say like it's an Academy Awards and a Variety are throwing a big party. Mm-hmm. But it could be a festival, like you mentioned, or any kind of event, really. There's so many different things that are hired in to make that event possible, which we'll come to talk about like what happens to them after the event. But, you know, what are we looking at there? Can you explain the process?
Yes, you have multiple vendors coming in to make one event happen. So you have florists, you have maybe set builders, you have vendors that might be bringing gifts for attendees, and setting up their own space. You have food, you have decor. So that might be balloon arches, that might be streamers, that might be fabric hanging, yeah. You know,
red
curtains,
carpet.
Red carpet, exactly.
Step and repeat.
So, and most events, they don't connect prior to. Not everyone is connected, or there's not like an overall sustainability person to help make sure that what's coming into the event can either be reused, composted, or recycled, right?
Yeah, and then, of course, the drinks, too, which are so often in plastic, especially if you're at a festival or something like that, you know, you see tons. I mean, there's just a grass full. I mean, you can't see the grass. It's just plastic at the end of it.
How could I forget the drinks? Yes, of course. And, yeah, a lot of plastic beverages.
So if we're talking about after it, then, you know, what happens then if you're not on board?
It all gets thrown away, really. Maybe a small amount of things are reused. Potentially, the red carpet could be rolled back up and reused. But even sets that are built are struck, they're torn down, they're thrown away. And like it's called a roll-off. So the event would just bring in this large dumpster and everything gets thrown away and taken away.
Yeah, and then you just forget about it. Because if you're going to one of those events, you just don't think about all of these things, do you? You just turn up and, oh, it's a wonderful festival, here I am, enjoy it, and you leave. You don't get to see the aftermath and the cleanup and everything that goes into that.
No, not usually. And really, as an attendee, you should be there to enjoy the event, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the idea. We sometimes see after event the trash that can happen after an event. A marathon is a good example. Sometimes the streets are just littered with cups and plastic water bottles, right? So sometimes that is visible, which can be helpful for the need to to do have different operations, but
and yes. to raise awareness from the yeah. public as well, like maybe bring a reusable water bottle, but obviously for the marathon runners, you know, that's yeah. grab and go, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So slightly different story. What would you do differently then if you were on board as a consultant for an event that we're talking about?
Yes, so with a sustainable events, the you would create a sustainability plan. It's looking at the event holistically before it gets started. And I think that's really crucial for most, for the success of any sustainability or zero waste initiatives at an event, is to start the planning early. A lot of times it's maybe an afterthought. It's like, oh, we need waste and recycling. Let's get someone to help. But sometimes the materials are already chosen for the event. So that can make it a little more difficult to have a successful end result.
Is that because of budgeting and they've already budgeted to use plastic instead of glass or something like that?
It can be budgeting, and it can just also be lack of knowledge that bringing somebody on sooner to help with the process actually makes things easier and more affordable, more cost effective.
Actually makes it more affordable?
Yes. So if you have, oftentimes there are ways to help with what might be a higher upfront cost for the event. And that could look like perhaps for a beer festival, maybe you introduce a reusable pint glass that gets worked into the ticket price. So you have eliminated thousands and thousands of cups now. Attendees can actually have a better experience and higher enjoyment of the beer, right, in a glass rather than a plastic cup. And you have offset your costs by including it in the ticket price. If there are multiple vendors, you can also ask your vendors to have a deposit. And if they introduce materials that weren't approved, then that deposit helps with the cost of disposing of those items. The more that you can reduce the need to dispose, also you're reducing your waste collection costs, right? Because there's not that much to haul away. So you can, instead of paying for a dumpster, you can actually create jobs, and you have people then that are in charge of reuse. And that's a wonderful shift in yeah. what is usual.
But say there are events that actually don't have a consumer sort of buying a ticket or something like that. Say, mm-hmm. let's talk about like a movie set. I heard a figure once that said on average 74,000 plastic bottles are used to make one single movie. That's crazy. And that's just, you know, a small portion of all of the food and sets and everything you mentioned before. I know that now they have this environmental like EMA certificate that they can get actually to make a film production a bit more sustainable. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a long way to go.
Yes, there's been some tremendous progress with film sets. And it's a difficult, we've gotten ourselves to expect water, individualized things, and that includes plastic water bottles at all times, right? But there was a time before that, and we did make movies before we had individual plastic water bottles. So it is possible.
Yeah.
But the powers that be have to come together to be creative and innovative and want to make that happen. And we are so capable of so many things, humans. We can do so much. And so if we have that desire, it can happen.
What about trade shows as well? I know that's something that you've worked on, and that's another big contributor to waste.
Yes. And that really, the most successful thing, I think, is aligning with your vendors and the people that come in to understand what materials are going to be accepted. So that might look like eliminating the small plastic giveaways or plastic bags, or making sure that the giveaways are recyclable or sustainable or edible, or, you know, just rethinking what we give away and what people actually want.
Talking of giveaways, you have a lovely giveaway for our listeners, which we'll talk more a little bit later on when we come to talk about your refill store. But I'm very excited about that. I'm very grateful that you're sharing some of your products with our listeners. If we're talking about the trade shows, though, I do find that it is fascinating because you see this huge empty hall at the beginning. I've been there in the setup many a time, and it's just empty. And then you know, by the time that it's actually open, the whole floor is carpeted. You've got everybody with their individual booths. And as you say, you know, when it comes to breakdown at the end, it's just everybody's in tearing it down, and you're just seeing everybody kind of next to these, like, with endless black sacks, you know, that are just trash bags that are going out to a dumpster somewhere. It's awful.
Yes, it's really about rethinking, I think, what it is we're bringing in, and getting super creative. So a lot of linens, right? There's tablecloths, there's table skirts. Those come in usually on hangers with plastic bags. And so there are now event initiatives to bring those linens in without the plastic bag sleeve and to save the hangers, because they're perfectly reusable. So getting really creative about the little details helps reduce. Every little bit, small steps really make big change.
Yeah. And some of the sets as well, I think, as you say. Do you have any figures on what kind of thing does end up in the landfill from events?
I think on average, you can say that 2.5 pounds of trash per person per event. So depending on the number of attendees, that can really add up, especially if you have multi-day attendees. That figure rises if you're having to build an entire city, like some festivals. And something else that is quite large that we haven't yet talked about is food waste, right? So some events, you can average 1 pound of wasted food per meal per person. And that could be, you know, diverted and going to someone who's in need.
Yeah. How do we encourage people to do things differently?
I think in my experience, I think people want to. It's there. And people, organizations, they are really making big efforts to see this change. In my opinion, we need some additional help from manufacturers, producers, extended producer responsibility. We need the big makers, the big corporations to get buy into reuse options and help out. I really think people are here and wanting to make the change, but I think on an individual level, we're almost maxed out at what we can do and what we are doing. And it needs to be simpler. And in order for that to happen, we need some responsibility from the folks who are making these products.
And is that what kind of got you into event planning as well? So you get to say no to certain people and choose the more sustainable option. And then, of course, like, consumer demand is going to make those brands do things differently.
It's helpful. I think as the sustainability consultant, I'm there to support the organizer. So I may not have as much say as to who's invited, but I can have those conversations and help educate. So this alternative looks green, right? And it has been billed to the organizer as a green option. But when we really break it down, I can help share, oh, this actually isn't recyclable, or it actually isn't compostable, and it's going to cost you more without the result you want. So in those senses, it's helpful, and I feel like I'm adding a service. Yeah.
Say it's a small barbecue, though. You know, I'm having a birthday barbecue, not me personally, but, you know, somebody's having a birthday barbecue, and they decide that they want to buy, you know, plastic cups and plates because it's just more convenient and they can throw it away afterwards and not have to worry about washing up 30 plates. Or they don't even have 30 plates to provide to the guests in the first time. You know, how do we tackle that kind of problem on a more sort of individual level?
I think reuse. So we're looking for something to replace those disposables that's reusable and durable. And this is one aspect of SustainLA that I love. We offer event rentals. So if you are having a backyard barbecue, we can provide the plates, the glassware, the flatware, napkins, tablecloths, whatever you need, and we'll do the dishes. We'll take it back. We'll wash it. So we literally deliver to you, or you can pick up at our store. You can have beautiful tableware. And then we'll take it back and wash the dishes.
I know one idea, you know, that was to use compostable things. Things are being made now to have compostable plates and silverware and things like that. But of course, you know, all of these things come with a price compared to the plastic ones. And if you don't have very deep pockets, I think that's where people are struggling to make those sustainable choices.
Yes. Compostable products are difficult to navigate, right, in the landscape. There are some that can actually be composted, and then there are some that are compostable in ideal conditions, but composters don't really want them anymore because products have to sit too long in their piles to be actually break down, right? So the timing doesn't line up. It might take 180 days for a plastic cup to decompose, but that compost pile is only going to sit there for 90 days.
Compared to food or organic produce going into the compost.
Right, which breaks down really quickly.
See.
And then there are some products that are will truly break down. They don't have lacquers. They don't have glues. They're safe for organic compost. But they are more expensive than going and getting a styrofoam plate or a plastic plate. And so I think solutions to those include looking to leadership and who we elect, because it's a systemic change that has to happen. We're subsidizing right now fossil fuels. So those subsidies and externalizing costs of the production of fossil fuel products to the land, to employees, makes that styrofoam plate or that plastic plate affordable, when its true cost is actually way more expensive than the bamboo plate or the pressed palm leaf plate.
So interesting. So if legislation came about that we could actually subsidize the more sustainable, compostable materials, then we'd actually be on track to actually trying to make a difference.
Absolutely. Yes.
Where did you actually first become passionate about zero waste living?
I think as I grew up, my parents live in a rural area. Behind them is a forest that goes down to a lake. And I spent many summers alone making my own path with some clippers down to the lake. And I mentioned managing the restaurant where we served styrofoam. At that same time, Captain Charles Moore found those gyres of plastic soup in the ocean. So it all kind of came to a head at the same time. And I really felt the need to find solutions, be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. And through my education and just things that came naturally, it really clicked for me. And these solutions make a lot of sense.
It's definitely just a lifestyle change, though, isn't it now? And it's a complete lifestyle to live a zero waste life, because there are these alternatives, things that you have to do and ways that you have to act to make yourself be sustainable. I remember when I used to feel really guilty just for throwing out an old plastic shampoo bottle or something, knowing that that was then going to go and sit on the landfill for 400 years or so. I say used to because I use alternatives now, so I don't have to feel guilty about it anymore. But there's so many other products in my house still that, you know, once it's finished, I have to put it in the trash, and I hate having to do that.
Yes, absolutely. We've built really great long-lasting containers, right? Only to be used for sometimes mere seconds or sometimes longer term, like your shampoo bottle. And Sustain LA offers, you know, a way, and other refill stations, a way to prolong the life of those containers. That they've, a lot of research and development has gone into making that shampoo bottle easily, you know, really useful, right, to dispense your shampoo, or the laundry jug to measure and dispense laundry detergent. So there are cases when plastic has a purpose, medical applications, even the shampoo bottle or the laundry jug, you know, but it's the length of time that we are using them for. We have too much. We are suffocating in plastic, drowning in plastic.
Yeah. I mean, even utensils, which you might have for a couple of years or something like that, there's still a point where you're going to get a different one, you know, a new one. And that's the same with anything, like the clothes that we wear that are made of plastic nowadays. You know, when we're done with that, it still ends up in the landfill in just the same way. It's not biodegrading.
No. Plastic is forever.
Yeah. So when did you start the refill store?
I launched the refill store after my daughter was born, and I guess that was another really eye-opening experience of what we're you know, what are we leaving for future generations?
There's so much waste when it comes to being a mother, or like when it comes to being parents, you know, in general.
Yes. And it was an opportunity to learn what alternatives were there in terms of having little ones, and what is okay to say, you know, this is what it is. This is the best I can do right now. Because zero waste isn't about perfection. It's about progress, right? It's about different choices. And I think as you adapt your lifestyle, those changes become easier. So we've been told we need to buy things, a product for everything. We need a product to clean our bathroom, yet we also need a different product to clean the toilet, to clean the mirror, to clean the tub, right? And so if we can change...
One for the kitchen to the bathroom.
Exactly. So if we can, take different steps and just think about what it is that we're actually buying and consuming, that is a great first step. And I started the refill station as a pop-up model in 2018. As I looked around our life, my family, our home, we had eliminated all the low-hanging fruit. We had eliminated single-use plastic bags, plastic water bottles, and then the longer-term plastics were still there, the shampoo bottles, the laundry detergent jugs, things like that. And so how... I started to think, like, what is the alternative to this? How do we tackle this? And there were some really wonderful, inspiring examples of refill stations in other countries, in Long Beach and Canada. Los Angeles didn't have one yet. So started it as a pop-up model. And then we grew. There was demand. People were really excited to have this in Los Angeles. Our community grew. And were amazing and helped us, you know what else to bring on. And suddenly we needed more than we could fit into a pop-up. So we opened our brick and mortar store a year later, almost to the day.
Okay. In 2019.
In 2019.
In Highland Park.
Yes.
Fantastic. I can't wait to make it over to you.
Oh, we'd love to see you. Yes.
And so tell us a little bit more about what people can expect if they come into the store.
The first thing I'll say is that it's very chill in there. Mm-hmm. People love the way it smells and the way it feels. And I find that's really important to offer a safe, welcoming space to people, especially if they're trying something new, because this can be overwhelming, right? And we have household cleaners, body care products, and plastic-free alternatives to things you use every day. So we have shampoo, we have conditioner, we have laundry detergent, dishwasher gel, dish soap, glass and window cleaner, pretty much anything you need in your home, we have available. We have over 100 refills available. And then we have the plastic-free alternatives include dish brushes or toothbrushes, toothpaste. We have reusable paper towels and facial cleansing cloths to remove makeup. Pretty much anything you need is available.
And do you need to bring your own container if you want to come and refill, or do you provide those as well?
We do provide them. However, if you have your own and it's working well, that is ultimate zero waste, using what you have. So we welcome any container. We've had fun filling all different types of containers from, we've had the Skull liquor bottles that we've refilled and all sorts. So it's great. It's great conversation.
So you just weigh whatever container it is, first of all, to see what it is. And then you put the product in it and then reweigh it.
Yes. Our shop is set up so it's all self-refill. So we have a weigh station available for our community, and they weigh the container. You can snap a photo or write the weight on the container and then fill up as much as little as you need. So if you're looking to try a new product, you don't have to buy a full bottle like you might in a drugstore. Mm-hmm. You can literally dispense a couple ounces into your container. We deduct that container cost, so you're paying only for what's inside.
That's great.
Yeah.
And also great that you could just go at the same time with everything. Say, my conditioner's empty, but I've still got half of my shampoo left. But you could just go and still just top up at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
Because you'll measure that weight.
Yes. Yeah.
What's the most popular products that you've got, or do you personally have favorites?
Oh, I do have favorites. The most popular is our hand and body wash. Again, it's a multi-use product, right? You can wash your hands with it and wash your body. It's moisturizing. You don't need two separate products. It's made locally in Burbank by a family-owned company, certified organic. And we have a completely closed-loop system, refill system with that maker. So that means that we take 5-gallon buckets to them. They sanitize and fill those up and bring them back to us. So we're using the same container. So what we're receiving to the store is actually zero waste as well. My current favorite products include a deodorant from Fat in the Moon, which is a lovely company in Northern California. And also the same maker as our hand and body wash makes a gratitude face serum. And I've recently had some changes to my skin due to medication and just, you know, age, and it's been wonderful. I really love the serum. It's an easy replacement for moisturizer. And I've seen a huge difference, and that also comes to us in a closed loop system. I love it.
I'm excited to try this. Do you partner with many of the different brands?
Yes. You know, getting started, it was such an eye-opening experience for me as I reached out to makers and either asked them to consider supplying to us in bulk quantities, or they were perhaps already doing it. Many of them are women-owned, with their own zero waste and inclusive ethos to their companies. And we've had the opportunity to partner with many of them to sort of launch their bulk options for other refill stations. So they started with us and they said, okay, we'll try this out. We'll try sending you 35 ounces of deodorant in a container and we'll see how it goes, or 64 ounces of deodorant in a container. And we send the containers back to them, or we've helped develop a closed loop system with them. And they've been able to replicate that then with other refill stations throughout the nation.
Do you have a couple of different options for, say, deodorant or creams and things as well? Or is it just one of each?
Yes, we try to have multiple versions. So with shampoo, we have 5 or 6 different options of shampoo and conditioner. Deodorants, we have 4 varieties, 2 different makers. One is completely vegan. One has beeswax. A lot of our alternatives offer vegan options and compostable options that might contain beeswax.
And why is it so important that we make these? I mean, it might be a silly question now, but why is it so important that we make these alternative choices to live a more zero waste life?
Simply, you know, math. We are on a finite planet. We are running out of resources, and we have the capability to tap into reusable, renewable resources. Extraction, production, it's all very taxing on our planet. And, you know, our planet will survive, but humans may not. Like, she's going to flick us off. And so we need to make some changes so it continues to be hospitable for us and other creatures.
Yeah. How do you tackle delivery, though? Because I know that that's something that you offer. So delivery and packaging is not always that sustainable.
It used to be. So we went back to the milk person style. You know, they used to deliver milk and pick up the empties. So that's exactly what we do. Our delivery program is something I'm really proud of, and our team did an amazing job. We had delivery prior to safer at home restrictions in the pandemic. But it really launched and took off during pandemic times. We remained open as an essential business. We extended our delivery to deliver to over 120 zip codes throughout the greater LA area. And we wanted to do that in a way that didn't increase single-use plastics or even single-use containers. Mm-hmm. So when ordering from us, we fill reusable containers, deliver that to your doorstep, no packaging needed, and you can set out your empties on your delivery day. So we deliver to certain areas of Los Angeles on certain days to help reduce vehicle miles traveled and our carbon footprint. And so you know your delivery day, and then you can keep your pump And just simply, you know, remove your pump from the empty bottle and put it in the new bottle that we bring to you. And it's ready to go. Very simple.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, as you say, very simple, but why is it not done more often? I think that's always the question, isn't it?
Yeah, I think our delivery routes aren't designed for the take back, right? Mm-hmm. So we're really good at getting things to people, but that whole process of getting it back to the maker has gone away.
Yeah. So what plans do you have to continue to spread the word and what you're doing with your company?
Oh, gosh. We thrive by collaborating with other makers, other small businesses, other organizations doing the work in Los Angeles. I really feel that the solution to sustainability is more equitable distribution of resources, right? So the refill station is awesome, but it's not going to solve climate change. But helping our most in need populations, our most underserved populations, that is where we're going to see systemic change. And so I hope that we can continue to work with organizations, continue to be innovative and find ways to help with food access, for example. I'm very passionate about food access and food waste recovery. I'm not entirely sure, but we're always open and looking for ways to adapt to what is needed.
And you're still raising awareness through pop-ups at farmers markets and festivals and things like that, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. We are at the Atwater Village Farmers Market every second and fourth Sunday. We have our regular shop, and you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok for sustainable solutions and tips and tricks, and all the makers that we love and work with.
Our Instagram is also where we're going to be launching our little giveaway.
Yes.
So you mentioned some of the products just before. Do you want to tell us Do you want to tell our listeners what they might be receiving as part of the giveaway?
Absolutely. It's a lovely body care bundle. We'll include eucalyptus shower steamers made locally in Los Angeles by Earth Melody, a wonderful Asian-owned, woman-owned company. Also, the gratitude face serum that I was raving about earlier, made family-owned business in Burbank, and a hair treatment duo, Love and Snow. Is a Black woman-owned business, also here, local in Los Angeles. And she has a wonderful hair serum and hair tonic that was created out of need. So she had tremendous hair loss from a product, a straightening, and she really needed to find a solution, wasn't able to find something that worked. So she created it with her knowledge of essential oils and natural products. And we have usually monthly Meet the Makers with Love White of Love and Snow in our shop too. So that will be included in our giveaway.
Amazing. Thank you. And all of the details of how to enter that are, of course, on our Instagram. So you can head over there to check that out. Good luck to everybody. I think I need to enter myself, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
I'm joking. I saw on IG as well that you were doing a fundraiser for a school. Tell us a little bit more about that before we say goodbye for today.
Yes. Aldama Elementary is a local Title I school in Highland Park, our neighborhood. And we are helping fundraise to install an outdoor classroom. There is a large greening effort within LAUSD because research has shown that kids have greater attention spans, greater retention of knowledge, being able to be outdoors, but also in outdoor areas that are shaded and have greenery and not complete black asphalt, you know. Mm-hmm. So these funds will, our school has partnered with Enrich LA, a nonprofit that builds school gardens, and they're going to come in and build an outdoor classroom, which every class will have access to. And we are hoping to raise funds by the end of September.
Fantastic. Yes. The end of September.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe just a few weeks left.
Yes.
From when this episode gets released. And you can see that on your Instagram, you said.
Yes.
Is there more philanthropic work that you're doing with Sustain LA?
Yes, we donate regularly to especially schools, local schools, silent auctions and fundraisers. We part of our event rental program, again, the food rescue, we offer no-cost food rescue to our rental clients. So if you're having an event, we offer support on how to save food, collect it, and get it back to us. And then we connect with local nonprofits and food rescue organizations to get those to community members in need.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for everything that you're doing. So many different pillars that we've talked about today. I'm really happy that, you know, you're out there and actually doing all of this. So thank you on behalf of so many people.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to explain all about Sustain LA.
Oh, you're so welcome.
The many facets that we have. I appreciate it.
And we'll be in touch on Instagram, I'm sure, posting all about the giveaway and then talking more about this episode. So if you are listening and you like it, please share it, subscribe as well, and then tune into the other episodes. They are all available wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much, Leslie. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Louise.
Until next time, guys, I'm Louise Houghton, and stay curious.